It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 1-800-313-9443.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Oh, we're not afraid. Bring on the issues. Bring on the issues. Bring on the issues that we want to rock and roll and whatnot. You know, the one thing, they're calling Frosty back. I made a mistake. I had yesterday's card here and had his brother Howard Wooldridge, and I was confusing him. And right after, I had Butler Schaefer. I already talked to him. I go, God, man, I you know, because I talked to him a lot and everything, Butler, and I was thinking, was that on the radio? And I talked to him going, let me look. Oh, yeah, that's right. Dang it. You know, I got you, Frosty.
You got me back.
We get to do it today. Yay! Yeah, you know, I was looking at the wrong card. I had your brother here. I was confusing him with you, and I go, did I talk to Butler? Yeah, I did. So we get to do it the next day. Heck, we might even do it tomorrow anyway. Okay, all right. So all you guys, line back up on, you know, Alan and Lee and Doug and Jim and bring it on. Sorry about that. Okay. This is I want to stay away from. I know you want to do numbers, but is there a test? I mean, do I got to write? You know, all that. So I'll stipulate that it's twice the number that you said. I'll stipulate that it's half the supply of resources you said. I'll stipulate that doesn't matter to me. It just doesn't matter because I want to know how it's going to affect my individual rights. How am I going to be treated by a government that's there to defend my individual rights? It doesn't say a freaking thing in the Constitution about what standard of living I'm going to have, you know, how many cars I got in the garage, how many chickens in my pot. It doesn't have anything about that. The Declaration of Independence is very clear. If a government is not defending your individual rights, it's time to alter or abolish it. That's how you know they're a bad government. And you're begging for the guys in taxpayer-funded resources of whatever, their cars, their guns, their badges, their shiny hats and everything to come up and they say, yes, and boss, you be producing some papers. And I'm going, okay, you're doing this why? Because we've got too many people. Okay, who says that? What is too many people? How do you determine? You'll go, well, there's math that somebody gave, and I'm going, okay, and where did he get it, and who decided, and how did it affect me? I mean, well, water's going to be, okay, fine. All the more reason to privatize water. You know, I'll sell it like, you know, I would gold or whatever. You know what? That'll cure a whole bunch of stuff. The market always solved these things with freedom. But you want to socially and economically engineer our society, and I'm wanting to understand why? Well, it's because we're unsustainable population. I go, okay, so I sustain it. I got a new whiz-bang fusion reactor, water maker, whatever. Now what? You know, I mean, go.
Just because you're wishing upon a Disneyland and a Disney wish doesn't make it so. The fact is, we don't have...
It has made it so. Ever since I've been born, we got technological advancement going crazy. To think that we have the capacity to do all... So, I mean, you're an environmentalist. I mean, that's your gig, man. You know, right. Could we or could we not power this entire country with solar, geothermal, wind? We could do it right now. But the reason
we can't.
The reason you can't is because they subsidize oil so much with $137 a barrel and us going fighting these wars everywhere. I'm like, oh, yeah, there's cheap oil for you.
Well, let me clarify that. The harsh reality is that the slave named oil for the last 100 years has been providing enormous energy around the world. And in fact, about 29.9 billion.
Oh, more numbers. We're going to have to wait for your numbers when we come back here on Declare Your Independence. With me, Ernest Hancock, and Frosty Wooldridge. Get your clipboard out and a pen. He's got more numbers for you. I guarantee it. We'll be right back.
It's time to declare your independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 1-800-313-9443. And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, and Frosty Wooldridge. We're gonna do some math. Okay. Frosty, I'm wondering, we got the scientific facts, math, numbers. We have a number. We got graphs. We got, you know, whatever it's going to say. We're all going to die when we hit a certain whatever.
Right.
Where do these numbers come from? Who determines this? What gives them? I got different numbers. Now what?
Well, again, I work with Dr. Albert Bartlett, one of the top physicists and certainly demographic experts in the country, if not the world. But also Michael Brownlee on transition.org, you can get these figures. The human race burns 84 million barrels of oil every day right now, about 29.9 billion per year. And that amount of oil equals to a cubic just a square mile of oil. Now, in order to duplicate that amount of oil, it would take 92 million solar panels built every year for 50 years to equal 1 year's burning of oil. It would take 102 coal-fired electrical plants built every year for 50 years to equal just that 1 year of oil. It would take 52 nuclear plants to have that much built every year for 50 years to equal that much oil. And it would take 32,500 wind turbines built every year for 50 years just to equal 1 year of oil. In other words, the slave
for the country or the planet? For the country or the planet?
For the whole planet.
Okay.
And so we cannot possibly, and there's nothing on the horizon to equal the slave power of oil, the energy per density of oil.
Okay. Now let me ask you a question.
We can't drive this civilization with solar power.
Let me ask you a question.
Okay, good.
Right now, you go on Freedom's Phoenix, you go to, at the top navigation bar, it'll say front page, page two, archives. You go in, it says contents listed by subject. You go to energy, right there, and you'll see all of the stuff that's coming online. Fusion reactors that are for neighborhoods that Del Webb will be powering Sun City with. So I'm going, okay, so let's just, you know, put on my fantasy hat and say that all this development is true. Let's say that we have using printing presses like making newspapers to make flexible panels that are cheap. Let's say that every house has shingles that produce. Let's just assume that we can produce the power. Then what?
Again, you're in my classroom right now, and I'm going to give you some harsh testing. And the testing is this. You can again, Disneyland is a place where you can go live your fantasies, but you cannot escape the realities of the population limitations, whether it's water, whether it's energy, whether it's quality of life, whether it's standard. I've traveled all over.
Okay,
China,
so you're
India,
saying
Bangladesh.
That we can't know. See, you're missing my point. I am addressing each one of your things. Okay, I have enough water. Heck, I'll give you another example. You know, what if, as they do the health care, Obamacare kind of thing, we start socializing everything, it starts getting to where you can't have the freedom. You know, they say, you know what, I'm good. I'm just going to go on a barge 12 miles out off the coast of California. I'll just live there. Heck, I'll commute with absolutely no lanes, no traffic problems. I'll do my little hovercraft, hydrofoil, whippy, plain sea, whatever, and live out in international waters. And all of a sudden, the entire ocean is billions of people kind of, we're just left alone. And they're able to sustain themselves. They desalinate water. They use solar. They got wind, wave generation power, whatever. And they're like, I'm good. You know, then what? See, I'm trying to find the principle. If I answer every one of your questions, which I think are answerable in a free market, if you just take away all the subsidies, it's like here in Arizona, we had City of Phoenix race in 95. 94, we're making a big woohoo, here come the libertarians. They had mayor and the four city council races are up, and they're screaming about encroachment on the desert here in the Valley of the Sun. We're just expanding too much building, too much. You're screaming about it. Well, at the same time, later that day, they'll have a city council meeting, and they'll vote to subsidize the sidewalks and the lights and the sewer and the water and the gas and all for all these developments. They'll scream about it while they subsidize it. And I'll go, quit subsidizing oil. Quit subsidizing land. Quit subsidizing all this development. Quit. The free market will take care of this. You have a house that you'll sell for $200,000 when it just cost in the subsidies that much for all the infrastructure you're putting in. And who's paying for it? Well, they charge future property taxes on that to fund their expansion. As the circumference gets bigger and bigger, you get to where we are now, Phoenix is broke. So I'm going, stop the social and economic engineering, a bunch of these problems get solved. But we're not talking about that. You're not even bringing up the fact that the reason we're in such dire straits economically is because we have this collectivist socialist engineering socially and economically, and you want to do it more. And I'm just, why?
Well, either we do something to literally
stop socially and economically engineering me.
Again, what you're advocating is a 300-pound man who's already got heart disease and diabetes, and you want to shove ice cream down his gullet till he hits 400 pounds.
No, I want to let him die. I'd let him go, man. He's his own responsibility.
Well, yeah, but we have a responsibility to this civilization to make it sustainable.
I have a responsibility to what civilization?
To this North American civilization.
How about freedom? And I vote for freedom, man. I'm for freedom. You know, well, Lady Liberty's got this tablet, and it's not a welfare list.
Even if you were back living in the Cherokee or the Blackfeet or any Indian tribe which had no government and so forth back 200-300 years ago, you still have to be a part of the mores and the tribe itself, and there are certain rules that you have to abide by. You know, we're just a much more complicated and complex tribe right now, and our biggest problem is we're too clever, and we're simply overrunning the environment's ability to sustain us. And I guarantee you this, when my work in this world will prove itself, and it will be self-evident within the next 30 odd years.
And I guarantee you, in the end, freedom always wins. It just gets messy. It gets messy. Oh, I guarantee you're going to come up against individuals that say, you know what? I don't want to be socially and economically engineered. I'm leaving. You can leave all the people that you want to be socially and economically engineered. You can have a whole entire country full of Frosties sitting right there. I'm hitting the spaceship, man. I'm going out in the ocean. I'm going to another country. And you'll have this fermenting of a social and economically engineered society. It'd be like a bad B-movie science fiction episode. And I'm going, you know, if you don't understand that this social contract, this is why I always go on the audience. I said, Constitution might as well be just called the Communist Manifesto. Without the Bill of Rights, it's just about the power, the power, the power. And the libertarians of the day said, no, 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 no. We're going to put all these thou shalt nots on this thing. It was an intentional act to get it ratified. And that was a whole nother story in of itself. But to get this thing ratified, for us to be under this social contract you keep talking about, there were certain things that the central government cannot do. And one of those things is papers, please. And you want to talk about this contract, this society you keep talking about. It ain't the one that you're saying it is, this Constitution, this Bill of Rights. It's something else. And I want to know what it is.
You take my breath away.
What? Am I wrong? You know, I mean, that's the promise they made me. That's a junior high social study. You're just starting to question authority. You're 13, 14 years old. That's why they have junior high. 7th and 8th grade, they start the government indoctrination. They're going, here's the deal. Here's the contract you're under. Here's the flag. Pledge allegiance to it. Constitution, blah, 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 blah. And I go, okay, I never signed this thing, but what's the deal? All right, the deal, it's a good deal. It's a good deal. We're going to protect your individual. They can't violate this stuff. All right, well, then they violate it. Contract's null and void, as far as I'm concerned. Deal's up. It's over. It's done. Get a new contract. Talk to Frosty. What's the new contract? What's the new contract? You got social and economic engineering from the top. It's going to say, here's a number. And you'll have all kinds of PhDs and doctors and everything. They'll come up with whatever number it is. And here's the number. We can't have more than this. We got to be able to supply that. We got it. Who makes its decision? And then it comes from force from somewhere. They're on the freaking streets of Arizona right now. And it's exactly what I said was going to happen, Frosty. You got exactly what you wanted.
Well, it's not that I wanted this. I wanted the U.S. Congress to do its job at the federal level to protect the borders, just like in your own neighborhood, there's police
officers. This bill doesn't even address the border.
To make sure that nobody breaks into your home.
It doesn't even talk about the border, Frosty. Well, don't even mention it.
Okay, but since the federal government won't protect your home and it won't protect your front door, you and your neighbors, the state of Arizona, finally said enough is enough. We're going to create SB 1070, and that law is going to start protecting the citizens of Arizona. It's simply
we're
going to
find out really quick.
They're
going to hit the button, Frosty. We'll be right back. You know, we're going to find out really fast. In fact, a couple hours after she signed it.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Yeah, welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, and Frosty Wooldridge. We got us a mission impossible. Can we bring these two ideologies together? Can we have a higher standard of living with more government controls? Can we have a free society with the ability to, I don't know, ship people back by checking everybody? I mean, I'm just, you know, I'm woo. But let's go ahead and, Frosty, we're going to go ahead and go to the callers, man. They're lining up, or we're going to do it. Now, you guys.
All right, sounds good.
Now, you guys are telling you, you know, blah, 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 long speeches. We don't got time for we get through everybody. I mean, I don't mind if you make a 10-second statement and ask your freaking question. I don't take a lot of callers because, man, it's just, you know, get away from the subject because I find Frosty extremely interesting in this conversation. You keep it as interesting and quick. Let's go to Joe in Pennsylvania. Go, Joe.
Well, yeah, Frosty, I got to say, you strike me as a modern-day Malthusian, you know, somebody that's, and when the population was far, far less than it is now, he was talking about a population problem. The population's gotten much, much greater, and I personally don't see a problem. I read somewhere that they could fit every single person that's in the United States right now in the city of Jacksonville. There's so much unused space in this country. Some of it's, you know, as out in the Midwest, not on the coast so much, that's not an issue. And besides, I'm in favor of protecting the borders themselves. You know, I have no problem if I would love to see our government take every single troop out of every single foreign country we're in, take a fraction of them, put them on the border, and make sure that only people with passports and, you know, so forth can get back in. I have no problem whatsoever with that. I have every problem with, as Ernie says, violating the Bill of Rights in order to find people who are illegal and deport them. Because in order to do that, you know, I mean, if somebody's got brown skin and they go on and they have to walk a mile to work, they shouldn't have to get stopped five times by policemen to show their papers.
Or even the threat of being stopped. Hey, Joe, thanks for the comment. Let's go ahead and go to Jim in Michigan. Go ahead, Jim.
Hey, Ernie. The one thing that I don't understand is what's going on with this is because it seems pretty obvious to me. The border is nothing but an artificial creation of the state that is just set up there to, by the powers that be, to keep those of us who are not in power fighting amongst ourselves. And there's no reason why just because you were born south of border X, you should have less freedoms than me who's born north of that. And I just don't understand how in the world those who are in the so-called freedom movement can think that because I'm not brown is the only reason I get freedom and you do.
Yeah, this I'll tell you one way. Thanks for the call, Jim, and we'll get to Frosty's answer on this. Because, Frosty, I can tell you where this is coming from. A lot of the young people, they communicate so much, and with Google Translator, or they speak more than one language, and they're dealing with a generation under 30 in their 20s, teens. They don't recognize borders on the internet. And I can see where this – it's like their livestock. You know, the border doesn't really delineate, you know, who can go where or what based on the freedom of the individual. It's based on the ownership of the individual to their collective government. You know, it's like, oh, no, you're ours. You want to go leave the country? Fine. You can't take $10,000 with you. We want to know all the banks that you have precious metals in. We want to know – if you're a positive, you're one leaving, make all the money, oh, we get your money before you can leave. It's all about resources, because the people with the assets, they're going to, I'm over on the yacht over here, man. I'm good. You know, they're just going, no. If you're a drain, all of a sudden, yeah, we got health care, government. Guess who doesn't get it? The ones that's costing us money. I can see where this is going. It is so obvious what's happening, and you're facilitating it.
Again, just to give you another reality check, illegal alien migration into this country costs the American taxpayer $346 billion a year.
Why?
Simply because those migrants that have come to this country are not holding their own, can't hold their own, and they're simply overrunning, again, the medical care, certainly the food care, certainly the schooling and the educational, and you name it.
And I'm for getting rid of all of that welfare, then what?
Well, then obviously they would more than likely, without a job and without the ability to maintain themselves here, would repatriate back into their own countries. But, you know, I want to go back to the fellow that was in Ohio or Pennsylvania that just said, well, we can fit everybody in the state of Jacksonville, you know, so forth.
As a freshman in high school, we did a thing with 5 billion people just in the state of Arizona. The entire Earth's population at that time would fit in Arizona, and everybody got a room the size of a school classroom. Yeah, so, I mean, again, you know,
It's not about space.
About footprint.
It's about footprint, carbon footprint, ecological footprint, species extinction footprint, acid rain footprint. We're doing so much damage. And it's
because we don't have the government protecting property rights. If I'm polluting somebody, I should be held responsible. Well, they do. They use the government to insulate themselves from liability. I'm going, no. That's why Nixon, Republican, created the EPA. It was not to protect the people or the environment. It was to protect the polluters.
Okay.
I mean, you know, it's like them damn libertarians got an answer for everything. Let's go ahead and go to JG in California. Go, JG.
He dropped.
Oh, I'm sorry. We're up against a break. Sorry. Well, well, you know, I understand your points, Frosty. We don't have to agree, but we need to understand each other. And my whole point is that the whole promise that I have for supporting this government, this United States, this federal, you know, social economic engineering was based on what their prime directive was: protect my rights.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 1-800-313-9443.
Yeah, what are we fighting for here in Declare Your Independence? With me, Ernest Hancock, got Frosty Wooldridge. We're fighting for, I don't know, what the heck are we fighting for, Frosty?
You know, Ernie, I love you. You're just a great guy. You're a great thinker. You're a great American citizen. I have highest respect. I've met Donna. We've had some great, really debates together. And the key is, thank you for bringing us to the forefront. And hopefully we do bring the debate to the American people, and that we all learn from this, that we all become more educated so that we can move our society, our civilization, our great American dream, if you will, forward into the 21st century. I hope that what I'm zeroing in on is not the problem of the 21st century. I hope that that we do become balanced with our numbers and with our civilization so that 50 or 100 years from now, our kids will look back and say, hey, Ernie and Frosty were battling for the same thing. that they cared about passionately their kids, so that our kids here in 2090 are enjoying a wonderful life, a great constitutional, and the Declaration of Independence, so we can pursue happiness. And so that, in the end, you and I are on the same side. We're working for a better America. And
no,
we may
I'm
have some
not.
Differences, but boy, I'm thankful that we care this much. I'm as passionate as you are.
We have different goals.
The future better.
We have different goals. You know, for a better America. You know, I am not. I'll be the first to say. A lot of people, I'm like, hey, man. You know, this Constitution thing. I never signed it. It's just another plantation. We're just a farm. You know, the countries are just ranches, you know, for somebody to, you know, make use of us until they can't anymore and to go somewhere else. You know, this whole America thing is not. I remember a scene from Spartacus, and you had Laurence Olivier and Tony Curtis, and Laurence Olivier is kind of hitting on him, you know, and so he goes, you know, Rome, if she didn't exist, we would dream of her. Well, that's how I see America. It's a dream. It's a standard. It's a goal, but it's not the end. See, a lot of people think that some entity is the end of itself. We need to have a strong America, where America was just a tool to have strong support of individual rights. It's already past that. I mean, I can't have any support for a country that is the prime violator of my individual rights. I just, like, you know, I don't need to, you know, go out and everybody's, oh, get a gun. This guy, I can't even get on the Southern Poverty Law Center Patriot list. I mean, you know, because why? Because I don't advocate violence. I don't advocate replacing them. I don't advocate, you know, heck, even voting. I mean, I'm going to run and wear the ring of power. I want to be behind the lever. I'm like, you know, can I just free myself inside my head and just, like, yeah, I don't need to be ruled? And I just advocate, you don't need to be, you don't have to succumb to this all powerful force that's got a gun. I mean, you may comply. I may go, yes, and boss, here's my papers. I travel. I, you know, got my passport. I do, you know, of course, I drive on the taxpayer-funded roads, blah, 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 blah. But I am never, ever, ever are you going to get me to advocate for the power of a government to put a gun to somebody's head and force them to give up their property in order to redistribute it to someone else for any reason. That was never their function. And the more they violate that prime directive, the less legitimate they become. And the more illegitimate that the government comes in the minds of the people, all the rest of the stuff just kind of follows. As we understand that, that's what this show, that's what Freedom's Phoenix, that's all this is about. That's why I need you to post on Freedom's Phoenix. I need this argument there. I want to have this discussion. I want the people that you attract to come over and see another perspective. I want the comments. I want all the, I need this discussion to go so that we can make it very clear what's really at stake. Our species, humanity itself, I don't classify them by a border. We are human beings. We all have so much more in common than we don't. And all these arguments, all this stuff between governments is governments. That's their problem. What the internet has demonstrated to an entire young generation that you and I are far more insulated from than we should be is that they understand that personal relate. Right now, at the top of Freedom's Phoenix, we have Tracy Harmon, ex-Army, is over in Iraq right now on a humanitarian mission with a bunch of Freedom's Phoenix signs and antiwar.com and revolution, lovelution, all that kind of stuff. Where's the love? And she's over there meeting with the people that are the victims of all these governments versus government crap. And I'm going, you cannot change the perspective that these young people have as they go to school with people that are illegal or family of illegal. They know, I mean, it's like in the 60s, as a young man, they forced busing and we're going to school with black kids, you know, and our parents all freaked out. It's all a big, and we're sitting there going, what the heck are they talking about? I mean, it wasn't even, you know, racism and this bigotry. So it's all learned. And the problems that we really do have, the real problems that we have, is government, not the people. And I'm going, when you, and then what's the solution? More government that I have to put up with. So I'm going, as I'm traveling around, as I'm going about my daily business, if I got to fill out forms and I got to pay taxes and I'm regulated and I got all these bills and increase all this, you know who I blame? I'm not looking to the brown skin guy over there mowing somebody's lawn. I go look at the shiny tie politician and lobbyist. They're the ones screwing me.
You know, and I'm with you on this. I actually, this will show my age. I marched with Dr. Martin Luther King up Slappy Drive in the summer of 1963 when he came through Albany, Georgia. And my dad was a U.S. Marine. I have been integrated my entire life, and I have respect for all races, creeds, and color. I know that all people on the planet, having traveled through so many countries, are doing the best they can. They're paddling their boat the best they can. And so we are working for a better America, and I know that the internet has really brought the world together. I my brother speaks five languages. I do pretty well in French, and certainly io capisco un po' l'italiano and Japanese. Io watashio nakiskemashita, and I'm thankful for all of that. And what I'm hoping is that we can enjoy a sustainable world, because in the final analysis, we can't continue to operate in the 20th century paradigm. And you're right. Let's make the argument, or let's make the discussion, or let's create the possibilities. And I think the internet has done that. I mean, China is opening up like crazy. India is opening up. Mexico is changing. So is Brazil. All of these other countries. We are just the human race. And I know from my own experiences of bicycling around the world that everybody just, they love, they have families, they have kids, they go to work. They're all doing the best they can. And hopefully what rings true in my voice today and even in my columns at Freedom's Phoenix is integrity. I'm just trying to bring what I understand of my experiences in the world to the readers so they may understand more, or they may appreciate more, and that we all work together toward the goal of happiness for human beings, not only here in the United States, but in Mexico and in Central and South America and in Africa and Australia and in Europe and so forth. That's my final goal, to give a better world for our kids.
And I appreciate it, and I'm glad you're there. And this, and I give you the listeners a perfect example. We have Frosty, here's the problem, here's the math, here's the numbers, and here's the solution. On the other side of the spectrum, we have Stephen Lindman. Now, Stephen Lindman with a Global Research used to have a show on this network, before my show. And a lot of you guys know who Stephen is. Well, Stephen's very left. I mean, he's card-carrying whatever, I love Hugo Chavez, okay? And he's out of Chicago, and he writes a lot of great columns over there. A lot of them well-researched, got all kinds of numbers, lots of truth in there, blah, 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 blah. Gets down to the bottom, and it's the same thing. Therefore, we need more government controls. Therefore, to change this number that I was very specific about, gave you all kinds of supporting structure for this number based on whatever other numbers I came up with. It's like talking to Wall Street. It's like talking to Goldman Sachs. I got a number. Well, it's a subprime derivative of, and it's a number goes up, it goes down. Why? Because it's a number. Based on what? Numbers. So I'm going, it don't mean anything to me. So you have, this one, Frosty's going, we have this number, and we need more government control to change this number. Stephen Lindman on the other polar opposite philosophically, we have these numbers, and we need more government control to change this number. And you have Ernest Hancock going, you know what? I don't care what your number is. The whole purpose of government is not to change numbers. It's to provide individual freedom and let the free market determine the numbers. Quit subsidizing the numbers. Quit changing it. It messes up. This is what Dr. Paul was going on about during the 08 campaign. Of course you're going to have all these screwed up, messed up, unintended consequences by trying to control the number. That's the problem. In my opinion.
I'm sorry, Ernie, but at some point we have to control the number of people allowed into a restaurant or a pool or a gymnasium or any limited
private
space.
Property rights. I mean, that's my whole point.
You can only have so many people in an apartment. You can only have so many people in a car.
Private property rights.
You have to get down to the reality that there are limits on everything, and if we abide by them, then we can have the freedoms that we enjoy.
If I'm not the one determining that,
we will not have any freedoms because we'll end up in chaos.
If I'm not the one determining private property rights, who gets to come on my land than somebody else is. And that's why we supported Ranch Rescue. On the border here in Arizona, there's a private ranch, and they wanted to make a point. This is ours. We have a fence right on the border. We defend our private ranch. The Border Patrol, nope, you can't. People coming, I mean, you can shoot the SOB that's coming in from the other three corners, but, you know, the guys coming across the border in Mexico, you can't. I'm like, whoa, you know, this is a good point. I'm going, look, I just need to know, can you defend your own property? Well, yeah, unless it's from coming over the border. All right, well, will the government defend the border? No. I go, this is a good point. This is a good information. We need to know this. So what is the problem? The government is not defending the individual property rights. And next, try again. Okay? So are they defending individual rights? No. Alter or abolish. You know, this was a perfect example. I was all over that in 03, 04, 05. We had him on Charles's show the morning before the FBI went and arrested Casey Nethercutt that was doing this. You know, that and to say he wouldn't come on at the same time, we had there's a gentleman that used to be a talk show host here that was representing the Anti-Defamation League, ADL. It was a campaign, man. We've got to go get these guys. He came on. He didn't want to be on the same time as Casey Nethercutt, so Casey came on the hour after ADL did. I can't remember his name. Bill Schultz, Bob Schultz, or whatever, is one of the talk show hosts.
Bob Schultz, yeah.
No, not Bob. It was Bill Strauss, I think it is a local guy. And so what happened was we had – no, he's ADL. That definitely ain't Bob. So we had ADL here. We had Casey Nethercutt. And they go, they're Nazis, and they got skinheads in their thing and Nazi this. And they'll come to find out they're, you know, informants and agents. It's just the way they work. So the thing is they arrest him. They get him, and I think he eventually got out. But, you know, the point was is – they are not allowing private property owners to defend their property against those that would even come over an international border onto their property. This is very important information, and they, you know, slid it under the rug. At the same time, right after that, they had a guy that was an ICE agent or something that was starting to, you know, he's you know, putting out some information. He's starting to turn. Boom. His car gets run off the road, and he's killed. And there's all kinds of suspicious stuff around this. This stuff is going, you know, these are long stories that it just goes on and on and on. It's not about fixing the problem. It's not about the government doing its prime directive. It's about doing exactly what you're advocating for. Population control. And they used immigration. They built it up. I saw it happen.
I have not advocated for population control ever.
What the hell you think Papers, Please is? It's not just about whether you have to have an abortion or not. It's about you get to, you know, travel from here to there without being molested. You know, I'm talking about this engineering thing. And I knew that sooner or later you'd get exactly what you were advocating for. Well, you have it. Now what? Now you're saying, yep, you know, that's life in the 21st century. We need to be ready to produce our papers. I mean, you're telling me this. I am living in a country now in the modern America, so that we can have MK America. We're America now. We're Americans. And you know that. And I'm proud of it too. I got my card, and I want to run naked, smeared in Jello, and you know, and not have my ID. Nope, not allowed. You know, so I'm just like, you know, whoa, you're killing me, man. So this is what you're advocating.
I didn't advocate this. Ernie, let's make this very clear. I never advocated for Senate Bill 1070. It was pushed on Arizona citizens by the illegality of lawlessness and the corruption and the consequences that have been literally hammered into Arizona for the last 20 to 30 years because the law that is on the books has not been enforced. And when you don't enforce a law, then lawlessness pervades. And if you have a society that does not have enforcement of laws, you have anarchy, and then you have what you have in all the countries that are Sudan and Darfur and all the other places where absolute killing and murder and everything goes on. You have to have a social contract whereby everyone is invested in it, whether morally and ethically or lawfully, so that you can have the freedoms that we enjoy. Once you lose that enforcement of that social contract, you no longer have
it. Just happened. It just happened. They just violated that contract. You know, why isn't there a bill that the governor puts National Guard on the board? Heck, the Minutemen were saying, hey, we'll do it privately. Hey, we're right here. There they are. Go get them. They didn't go get them. You know, why don't have a bill that says, all right, well, we're just going to allow the citizen and we'll have the border sheriffs just go and, you know, get them, you know, on the border. They're not even talking about the border. They don't care about the border. This is population control. This is, you know, populist control. That's all this is. You know, and it's going to be, I tell you this, I know I'm going to be proven right. I already have been. You know, and what's the solution? You know, you run the economy into the ground enough, they just leave. Well, you win. I mean, you know, yay. We'll be right back here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, and Frosty Wooldridge in just a little bit.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
What's wrong with the world, mama? People living like they ain't got no mamas. I think the whole world addicted to the drama. Only attracted to things that'll bring the trauma. Overseas, yeah, we trying to stop terrorism. But we still got terrorists here living in the USA, the big CIA. The Bloods and the Crips and the KKK. But if you only have love for your own race, then you only leave space to discriminate. And to discriminate only generates hate. And when you hate, then you're bound to get irate. Yeah.
Yeah, bound to get irate. Well, you know, Frosty and I got love for each other. That's not what's going on here. It's a battle of opinion. And the more spirited we get, well, we learn something. Now, we're going to go through some calls real fast, and we got just a few minutes. So I'm only going to give you about 30 seconds. I'll push the freaking button, man. When I say thank you for the call, Carrie will push the button, go to the next one. So make your point. Here we go. Jeff in Illinois. Go ahead, Jeff.
Okay. Hey, Frosty, this is Jeff in Chicago running for U.S. Senate for the people of Illinois against Dick Durbin. Dick Durbin is going to be under arrest if they dare try to take away the guns. As a United States senator, I will arrest any United States sitting senator that allows the United Nations treaty to go forward that confiscates any guns.
All right. Got your promo. Hit the button because, I mean, you run for office. We'll talk about something else. Thanks, Jeff. All right. JG in California. Go ahead, JG. Got you, JG? All right, let's go to Tom in Arizona. Go ahead, Tom.
Hey, Ernie.
Hey, Tom. Go ahead, man.
How you doing? Hey, I just want to tell you about I went to my LD meeting last night.
Legislative District Republican thing or something?
Yeah. Jan Brewer was there. And so I was trying to get my question into Jan Brewer, and I was sitting in the second row, and I kept raising my hand every question. They wouldn't let me get a question to her, but I ended up sneaking my question in afterwards when the next guy got up, which was the state legislator. And I asked about this 1070 bill. You know, we got a standing ovation basically at our LD meeting over this 1070 bill that was just passed by signed by Jan Brewer. And so I asked why we can't secure our borders. She just gave a big speech about how California and Texas were both able to secure their border without any kind of 1070 bill, and also I made the point that 1070 is going to lead to amnesty. So this bill that they're all, you know, excited about is going to ultimately bring about amnesty, because they're basically begging and pleading to the federal government to come help them fix the problem because they don't want to do it themselves. And how is the federal government going to fix the problem? Amnesty—that's their only way of dealing with this issue.
You know, he brings up a good point, Frosty. I can see where this is going to go into an amnesty thing. Nationally, you got Obama and Napolitano. She's just—we don't lack it, and they're going to be all legal back and forth. We got the city of Phoenix mayors wanting to sue the state for making them enforce it, and back and forth. This thing is just going to get all nasty, and it's going to eventually come down to some kind of program to make all these people legal. You know, I mean, but you're not about them being legal. You're about them not being here, right?
Yeah. Well, again, it gets really complicated in so many different arenas. In the final analysis, whether they get legalized or otherwise, we have to maintain some kind of a border rather than allow 3, 4, 5 million people to keep coming into this country every year, which will simply render this nation completely unsustainable. And that's the final bottom line.
I am not afraid. I'm just not.
I'm not afraid to go with you either. I'll row the same boat you're rowing.
You know, I'm not afraid. You know, hey, Frosty, thanks for coming on. You know, I knew it'd be spirited, and it was time, and we probably need to do it. We'll let as much time go by before we do it again. I'm sure we'll
okay,
be doing
I look forward to it, Ernie.
Yeah, thanks, Frosty. And we'll have Frosty back here soon. I mean, within a month or two or something, and if I forget, Frosty will remind me, or you will. Because
okay,
I
sure will.
Because this is going to keep getting worse. I can see this where this is going. It always has. It's
That's
going to
right.
give
it's
the government
get worse before it gets better.
It's going to give them more control over us, and then what? Well, then we'll discuss it. But you got both of our opinions on this. We'll talk to you tomorrow.